Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of the Lord this evening by using the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, like we have been reading. And the theme for the sermon is to pray like a child, to pray like a child. Beloved congregation, I remember that my mother told me when I was young a story about her brother. So two uncles from me, they were returning from school. Well, they were very young, and in Netherlands many times you have to walk. It was a long way, but they did it. There was no other way. And then to make the way shorter, to cut their way shorter, they were going through a pasture. And they had not seen that there was a bull walking there. So they were creeping under the fence and they were walking there. And then, while one had left the pasture already, the other one was still there. Then the bull saw them and came behind that brother of my mother. That was very dangerous. I've heard stories of bulls killing even adult men. So that was a really danger, and they saw it, and he saw that his brother couldn't walk fast enough. He was very scared, and he didn't know what to do. And what he did is he fell down on his knees, and he didn't know what to pray, but he prayed that the prayer that his parents had taught him: Lord, bless this food for Christ's sake. He didn't know at that moment any other prayer. He was very young. And all of a sudden, that bull stopped. And the small boy had the opportunity to creep under the fence and to escape from the danger. The Lord heard that prayer of the small boy, to pray like a child, honestly, from our hearts. It's not about the beauty of our words in the first place, but if it is really in that trust and reverence to the Lord, like he deserves to receive from us. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus? Our Father. Yeah. What a wonderful thing to pray. And the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know if you ever experienced that you didn't know how to pray. God is so great, so holy. His majesty is so overwhelming, and I am really like dust, taken from the dust, and I have a corrupt heart. And now to pray to that holy God, how can I pray? What is the right way to pray? We read in Scripture that the Holy Spirit himself is making intercession before to God for the saints. What a comforting thought. Those times that we don't find the right words to pray, that we think about that Spirit that is making intercession himself and also is praying within us. And Paul says in the letter to the Romans that it is by the Holy Spirit that we learn to pray, Abba, Father. That tender way of praying to God, to know him so in such an intimate way. Yeah, Christ has been teaching his disciples to pray in such a way. Why did he do that? It is really special that the Lord has revealed himself himself as a father to man. We do not find that in other religions. If you think, for example, about Islam, then Allah is a God that is very high, and people wouldn't dare to say father to that God that's so far above them. And yes, it is true, the God of the Bible, of Scripture, is also a very high God, but at the same time coming very near to people, showing in a very powerful way his mercy. We find that in the Old Testament, that the Lord is revealing himself as a father. We find it even more powerful and clear in the New Testament. Also in this perfect prayer that the Lord Jesus is teaching to his disciples. The Lord is showing it in many ways in his word that he is like a father. He is a perfect father. When you read in the Gospel according to Luke, and you read all those generations, then at the end, it says in Luke 3, that Adam was the son of God. There the Lord is already showing that man is, you could say, created in such a way to be like a child to God, to live in such a relationship to God. We can also find that in the Old Testament, if you read in the prophet Malachi, in the second chapter, we can find it there that the Lord says, have ye not, so by the mouth of the prophet, he says, have ye not all one father? Had not one God created us? So there God says, well, I'm your creator, and I created you like a father, so that you would be like children to me. You could say, by the power of creation, God has the right that we acknowledge him as a father. Although, because of our fall in sin, we have broken that tender relationship that was there in paradise. But that doesn't mean that God has not the right, that he changed in himself. He should be acknowledged like a father, although we do it no longer because of our sinful nature, till the Lord is working in our heart by his Spirit to make us to be adopted as children of God. And the Lord is also speaking to his people, the people of Israel. For example, in the prophet Jeremiah, that he is their father. If you read in Jeremiah 31, verse 9, there the Lord says, they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. You could say, out of the power of the covenant, God is showing, revealing himself to be a father. And he is the one that deserves, because of creation, because of the covenant that he makes with his people, he deserves to be acknowledged as a father, with childlike love and childlike fear and reverence. But we all know that it is true that only when the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, that we will really do that. Like Paul is describing in the letter to the Ephesians, that the Lord adopted them to be children of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That the Lord is restoring that relationship that we have broken by our sin, so that he will again receive that reverence and that honor and that glory that he deserves to receive. What a special thing that the Lord is a God who is a father to people. And when we hear this teaching about the prayer of the Lord, the question comes, if we know the Lord in such a way. It could be that we live a blameless life, like that brother of the prodigal son did. You know, he was such a good boy. He always was obedient to his father. Nobody could say anything wrong about him. Totally different from his brother that went away. And it gave a lot of sorrow to his father. But yeah, if you read that whole parable, then you discover that his older son, this older brother, was not living like a child. Although he lived in a certain way outwardly blameless, he was living like a servant, not living in that tender relationship to his father. He was like a servant that was serving and wanted to be paid. He said to his father, "You never gave me anything to be married with my friends." So he wanted to be paid. And his father said, "But child, everything that I have is yours." He didn't see that. So that is possible, that we live a Christian life and still that we are more like a servant. We do things and we want to be paid for them in a certain way. We don't do it like a child for his parent. I hope you help your parents, children. There are many things to be done in the house and around the house that you can help your parents. Probably you have to. And, well, sometimes your parents can give you something. I don't know if they do. But it shouldn't be that we always say, "Well, now I've done this for my mom or my dad, and now you have to give me money." No. No, you're doing it with love. You're doing it willingly, because they are your parents, and you want to help them. There is that relation. Well, when we really know the Lord, then we do the things in a childlike way to the Lord. That's why on the day of judgment, those that were allowed to enter the kingdom of God, and to whom was said, "Well, come in, because I was thirsty and thou gave me to drink. I was naked and thou art giving me clothes, and I was in prison, in jail, and thou art visiting me." They said, "Well, but when did we do that?" They didn't write it down to make like an invoice to be paid. They did it with love, and they totally forgot about it. It was like automatically, because of having that love in their heart to God. What a wonderful thing if we know the Lord in such a way. If we pray in such a way. So tender, so intimate, with such a love. Because we see the love of God in Christ, who gave himself himself to save me out of my guilt and misery. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah. We should ask the same question like this disciples did. Why had Christ commanded us to address God thus? Our Father. Yeah, it's good to think about that word, that small word, our. He didn't teach them to pray my Father, but to pray our Father. When we pray our Father, we are reminded immediately that we are not alone. Not alone in seeking, praying, serving the Lord. It's such a blessing when we see that there is a communion of saints. And that we don't only pray alone, but others pray with us. And that we see that we do not pray for ourselves alone, but also for others. Yeah, for the whole church, for all the children of God, wherever they might be, that the Lord will help them. Our Father. Well, the reason is that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. So right from the beginning, the Lord wants to excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. You listen to that answer, you hear that it is not a thing that we have in and from ourselves. Because it says, the Lord, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. We do not have that in, automatically from ourselves, but it's really a thing that the Lord has to excite in us. And he is doing that in the way he is teaching us that we should pray. A childlike reverence for and confidence in God. What is a childlike reverence? Yeah, it's not that we are afraid of God. Many people are afraid of God. And really, when we don't know the Lord in his saving grace, well, I can understand that. Yeah, but if we know the Lord, then that fear to be afraid, that will change. Like John is writing in his letters, the love makes that fear is going away out of our hearts. I really hope that you know that, children, boys and girls, adults, that fear that we have by nature and with a reason, because we have sinned against the Holy God, oh, that we have experienced that was leaving our hearts because of the power of the love of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we do not have reverence. We should have childlike reverence. So, like a child should have or will have to his or her parents, so we should have in our praying to the Lord reverence to God. Be humble and have a deep respect for this great and good and holy God. Childlike reverence for and confidence in God. Yeah. We honor the Lord when we in our prayer show confidence in God. I think we as parents would feel offended when we feel that our children do not have confidence in us, that they do not trust us like we are and what we say. And much more it is true about God. Much more it should be that way in our prayer. So to pray is not like, well, let's just try. You never know. Maybe it will help. Now that's not the right way to pray. But it is that we should have that confidence in our heart that we know that God is there and that He is hearing our prayers like a child will trust parents. You have a young child standing on a high spot and the father will say, well, just jump down. And the child will immediately do that because there's a trust, a confidence in the heart of the child. My father, you know, he will do what is good for me. He will always protect and help me. I'm safe when my father is near. Yeah, that's the life of faith, to be like a child, unable to do the things in my own strength, not knowing what will happen in my life, but have peace and confidence in my heart, in expecting everything from God and trusting Him, because He knows. Isn't that true, that children are that way? And that they do not understand many things? But normally they wouldn't bother about that they don't know everything. When you go in your car with your child and you go somewhere, and then you would ask the child, oh, do you know where we have to go? Well, no, I don't know, but that's not a problem because my father knows. A childlike confidence to trust the Lord. Oh, that is the way that we should pray and that we would honor the Lord. Do we not have to be ashamed about many of our prayers? And that we do not have that reverence in our heart, praying, maybe not even that concentration, to think about what we are really doing, to whom we are speaking, and that there can be such a lack of confidence in our prayers. And Christ is teaching us that we should be like a child, having reverence and right from the beginning, and confidence in God. And he says, the Catechism says, which are the foundation of our prayer. What does it mean? So that reverence and that confidence, childlike reverence, are the foundation of our prayer. It doesn't say are the foundation of the hearing of our prayer. No. The foundation of the hearing of our prayer, we have to see that is the work of Christ. That is the only reason that God can hear our prayers. We sinful people, and oh, also our prayers are full of sinful things, are not perfect, you know. We can ask things in the wrong way, and many times we do. And our thoughts can wander away while we are praying. Now, the foundation of the hearing of our prayers is not in the way we pray. It is in Christ. It is by grace alone. That's why we end our prayers for Christ's sake. But the Catechism says, well, the childlike reverence and that confidence in God are the foundation of our prayer. Yeah. So that means those two things need to be there to pray like we should pray. They need to be there when we really will pray. And yeah, we can see that. We can understand that. How can we pray? How will we pray to such a holy God if we don't have childlike reverence and if we don't have confidence? We will not pray. We will not really pray with our hearts if there's no confidence that God is there and that He is a God that is hearing our prayers. So those two things are the foundation of our prayer. That's where we build our prayers upon, you could say. That we trust Him. That we have that respect in our heart to God. Namely, that God is become our Father in Christ. Yeah, He is a Father. But now, to know Him, to acknowledge Him, that is only a thing that can be there in Christ. And the Lord in Christ is restoring that relation to between Him and my soul. That's only because of Christ. It's not because of anything that I do or I have. But it is when there is a living faith in my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I know and acknowledge the Lord like I should as a Father. That God has become our Father in Christ. And will much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Yeah, parents will give what is good to their children, isn't it? We have to see that there are fathers that do wrong, that do not give their children the right things, that do not show the love that they should show to their children. Oh, that is terrible. Children can suffer a lot in this world where fathers behave many times also in a wrong way. So we shouldn't say God is like an earthly father, because earthly fathers are no perfect fathers. Now God is a perfect father, and earthly fathers should be like God. That should be our prayer. That should be our desire. That we show to our children the love of God. That merciful, tender care that God is showing to man in Christ. Something of that should be seen in the lives of fathers. What a responsibility it is to be a father of children here on earth. That when children will pray this prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, I've heard a children say, it's so hard for me to pray that prayer, because my father has done me many things to me that hurt me. And so when I say Our Father, I remember what my father did to me when I was a child, when I was young. And now it's so difficult for me to see that God is different. Then an earthly father can be a stumbling block to children. If they don't show this love that God is showing in Christ, how important it is that we fear the Lord when we receive children. Oh, of course, it's always important that we fear the Lord. We cannot die when we don't know know God in Christ as a Heavenly Father. Sometimes people say, well, are you allowed to pray our Father which art in heaven when you are not converted? And then I think, well, is that a right question? And we could say, is it right to be unconverted? That we do not give the honor to God? Should that be not such a need in our lives? Such a concern about our souls and situation? That we do not rest till we know Him in Christ as our Heavenly Father? Yeah, it's true, it's so dangerous to live without the atonement of Christ for our guilt. But, yeah, if we can say that, it's even more bad, it's worse when we receive children and we don't know grace. So that should even urge us more. If we are going to marry, can we marry when we are not converted? Can we receive children when we don't know God in Christ as our Heavenly Father who forgave all my sins? Can we receive children to bring them up to the glory of God? We find it in the form of marriage that says, well, three goals. Of marriage. The one is to help each other, the other one is the Lord is giving children to bring them up to His glory, and the third is so that we would live a pure life and not in adultery. So yeah, to bring them up to the glory of God. I know we will try to teach them from the Word. Oh, but how great it is when our children will taste in our lives, well, my Father knows the Lord. It happened one day that children were chatting outside on a hot day. The window was open and the father was sitting in his study room upstairs, and the father was a pastor. And you know how children can do that? Well, my father, he knows the principal of the school very well. Well, my father, he knows the one that's ruling the city. And so they try to say more important things about their father. And then the pastor heard his son say, well, my father knows God. Yeah. How important that children can taste it in your life. You know God. They'll see it. They will feel it. They are soaking in. That's what a child is doing, soaking in all the, not only the things that they hear, the words, all those impressions that they get in the family, in the church, that they will see. Well, my father has that tender love. There is that strong and intimate relationship to God. That you can take your child and say, I'm a child. God is the most important one to me. I could do without many things of this world. I cannot live without the Lord. He is so good. Oh, if there can be that personal testimony in our lives, how important it is. So, yeah, how is that with us? You're never too young to know the Lord in Christ as a Heavenly Father. Maybe your Father is not always as tender as He should be. God is. He's wise and faithful. I lost my father. And now sometimes it comforts me so much that I think, well, but God in Christ is to me much more than my father ever was. Now, today, and every day. Oh, how rich this teaching is. How rich is this prayer. And will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith. The Lord has the right to receive that living trust, that true faith in our heart. Yeah, we cannot do it less. It's about true faith. So, it's about our hearts. The Lord wants our hearts. Not only the outside, but our inside. And yeah, that is the work of the Spirit. And that's why it is happening. And that's why it is possible for you. Is that not according to the Word? Is that not what we read from Scripture? If the Son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Christ doesn't say give bread. Yeah, we can pray for that. We will come to that later. Christ is teaching about the most important thing. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That's what we need. To have that true faith in our hearts. You can receive it. Because Christ says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him that ask him? You say, but I don't know for sure. You know, if I can say that God is my heavenly Father, he has the right to be acknowledged by you. He created you. He made his covenant. And we sin so much against him. If we deny him, if we ignore him, that revealed himself in such a rich way. Oh, that would a burden that would bring us to our knees. That would bring us to Christ today. Who is able to provide in all our needs. He will not refuse us what we ask from him. That's according to the Word of God. Yeah, you say, but I cannot ask it in a true faith. Maybe someone here is sitting and said, well, I've stopped to pray. It is not helping. Or you say, I dare not pray because I sin every day. I'd had a time in my life when I was young that I thought it's better not to pray because I sin every day. Was from Satan. I saw it afterward. And the Lord knew how to bring me to my knees. And that true faith, well, if you say, I don't know, I don't think I have true faith, well, confess that before the Lord. Admit it before him. And cry out to him, oh Lord, work that true faith in my heart. I cannot live, I cannot die without a true faith. Would you think that the Lord would send you away? Did he ever do that? Can you mention an example? And the Lord said, well, no, it's not for you. Yeah, we can think about that woman, that Canaanite woman. He was testing her. But at the end he said, oh, woman, great is your faith. So can you mention mention me an example that the Lord was pushing such a beggar away? No. We will not be able to find that in the Word. God is so merciful. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing a Psalter 4:14. Psalter 4:14, stanza 2 and 3. 4:14, stanza 2. But thou, Jehovah, art the shield about my heart, who wantonly oppress. Stanza 2. My hope and sure reliance. So 4:14, stanza 2 and 3. congregation, why is there added which art in heaven? Our Father is so tender, so near, almost like you feel his eternal arms under you. Well, really, that's true. That's how it can be experienced in faith. Why is there added which are in heaven? The heavens are very high, children. So high. Yeah, when we think about heaven as the place where God is, we do not speak about the heaven where the clouds are and the birds are flying, the atmosphere. Could say that's the first heaven. And we don't think about the universe where the stars, the sun and the moon are. That's so unspeakable, huge, so we cannot even understand how great, how big that is. And above that, in the third heaven, that's the place where God is living. The eternal, the unlimited God, so high. Yeah, if you would hear about those distances that stars can be away in the universe, you cannot even understand so far. Years and years for the light, and how fast is light going to come from that distance? And how much higher is God in heaven? Why is it added? Well, both things are true, and both things we have to see and understand. Oh, in Christ, God is the Father, known by true faith, and at the same time not only known as a Father, but also known as the Almighty God, the Eternal God. And we shouldn't forget that. Sometimes I've seen in the Netherlands people would speak about God in such a way, without the reverence, that they were speaking as if it was just a fellow, a friend that they met on the street. And young people would speak in such a way, and that's not good. We should have that feeling, that understanding that God is the Most High One. Yes, sure, coming so near in Christ to us, but it doesn't change. At the same time, he is immeasurable great. His majesty is so great, he is so high, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. We shouldn't think that he is like we are. Yes, Scripture is speaking about God as a Father, but at the same time, he is totally different from us. He is not a man, but he is God. And we shouldn't form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. When we think about God, we should at the same time know how holy and how high he is, so that we really will bow and humble under the Lord, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. He's not man. He's not a human father. So human fathers, well, they, uh, as sometimes do wrong. God does never. But human father sometimes cannot help. God is always able to give what we need, to provide in all our needs. He has the almighty power, and we should expect from him all things necessary for soul and body. Yeah. That's the way to honor the Lord. And we should have that faith in our hearts, that understanding. Now there's a situation in my life. I cannot see that there's a way that it could be solved. And many times, you know, we try and we try and we try. And then afterwards we are ashamed that we forgot that God is almighty. And that it's such a small thing to him to change the most impossible situation in this world. We should have that expectation in our hearts. Do you? Do we have that? Do you know what it is? Oh, I know we cannot make it. But really, that is what the Holy Spirit is working. And yeah, we have to be ashamed that we can doubt so easily. Oh, are there those times that you saw that God is in heaven and that he is in control and that all things are in his hand and that all gold and silver and everything belongs to him and all the power and all the wisdom and all the might? Oh, what a deep rest in your heart if you know him in that way. May expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. And to expect those things that are necessary for soul and body, we should see what is necessary for soul and body. So take time to think about your situation for body, but also and even more for our soul. Do you see which things are necessary for your soul? I hope you see it. It shouldn't make you desperate, but it should make you praying to our Father in heaven, the way he revealed himself in his word, as the Almighty One. Do you think that the Lord cannot solve the need of your soul? Do you really think that he is not mighty to overcome the corruption of your heart? Maybe you experience that you cannot overcome it. So, I really hope and pray that you will have expectation from God and seek your salvation and help from the Lord. Are you doing that? Think about your need. Life is so short. Maybe you're still young. What a great time of life to be young. A great time of life to seek the Lord. It's the best time. Your heart is most touchable, sensitive for those impressions of the Word of God. Seek the Lord while you are young. And do not be desperate when you see the sinfulness of your heart, but have expectation of that God in heaven, that in Christ is a heavenly Father, is known as a heavenly Father to his children that know him by true faith. And it is a thing that is to be received. Why would you postpone it? It is the most desirable thing. It is the most satisfying thing. It is the most glorious, joyful thing to know this God, to pray to this God, to have expectation in your heart, to walk with the Lord, to walk in heaven, where Jesus Christ is, and not to walk on earth, to have your treasure in heaven, that you could say, well, Christ is a treasure of my heart. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, gracious God, holy God, almighty God, omniscient God, all-knowing God, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest our needs. And thou hast prepared, thou hast known it from eternity. And thou hast prepared from eternity a way to be helped. There is that hero that came down from heaven to fight Satan and sin. And he conquered the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, rebels, sinful men and women, boys and girls, children, start to know thee by true faith as a merciful, almighty, heavenly Father. Lord, bless thy word to our souls. Forgive everything that was not according to thy holy will. Be with us this evening. Be with us when the youth group will be gathering to sing. O Lord, to open the word to pray. Bless the young people. Bless them with spiritual blessings. O Lord, it can keep us from many sins coming out of our heart. Lord, we pray that thou would work, and thou art working, and that thou will continue. We do not deserve that. We pray for those that are coming to the Confession of Faith classes, O Lord. Bless them also. Bless the teaching. Lord, thou art so worthy to receive all the glory and all the praise. We pray all these things in the forgiveness of our guilt and sin. We thank thee for Christ's sake.